Okay, we left off last night on Nun Vav Amid Beis on the bottom with the following ibaye, the following inquiry that the Gemara made, which is, remember, there was a halacha in the Mishnah that if you have a row that's planted on the top, nothing to do with the trellis, a row that's planted on the top, then a row that's planted 10 amas, then it's 10 amas below, it is not mitzarif. If it's less than 10 amas, it is mitzarif. Like on a hill?
Yeah.
The translation here likes to say embankment. Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Okay. So,
10 amas or
10 tvachim? It was 10 tvachim. Sorry. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So the Gemara last night that we learned declared, what is it? What, that the embankment was 10? As long as the embankment is 10 tvachim, so one row from the other is not mitzarev? Or is the distance itself of the row, right? And the Gemara said, because if you say, right, if you're talking about the row itself, so you would consider the embankment just as level ground. There's nothing special about the embankment. It has the same status as the ground itself. And if there's 10 tefachim of the embankment, then there's something special about the embankment. It doesn't have the same status as the ground below.
The only thing it could possibly have is it has a different cook,
Maris Ayin. All right, but this goes within the Maris Ayin. But remember, the Maris Ayin we discussed, we're not discussing Maris Ayin anymore. Maris Ayin we discussed was an embankment for an Aris, where, right, here we're back to Ikar Adin. We're no longer Maris Ayin. We're talking about Tziruf, whether it's the same Rishus, okay? And you'll see that very clearly very soon, okay? So the Gemara says, now we're on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph on the top. So in order to resolve this, the Gemara says, V'hasane, we learned in a Braisa, Shtei Shuras B'Madrega, there's a Braisa that deals with two rows on an embankment, and the Gemara doesn't quote the entire Braisa here, but the main proof of this is the Gemara says if the two rows are within 10 tefachim of each other, they are mitzarif. If they are not, they're not mitzarif. So the 10 tefachim is on the embankment itself. So
east. Does the 10 include the two rows?
The distance in between. In other words, if they're within 10 tvachim.
So the top one and the bottom of the bottom one.
Right. Right. Well, if you look at do you have an art scroll? If you look at there's roughly a what's name. You see that rough diagram on footnote 2, right?
Yeah.
So they're both on the embankment. There's 10 tvachim, right? What's your case?
Where are the measuring points? Where are the starting and ending points?
The starting and ending points are the bottom of the top one and the top of the bottom one.
Oh, okay.
That's the bottom, right? That's.
So it's not stem to stem. It's where this plant ends.
Yes, yes. It's the bottom of the top one, the top of the bottom one, right? Look at the thing, right? So the Gemara says, Isloch Meimar, could you possibly say Gavoya Madrega, Veloy Gavoya Shura? What we're concerned with is the 10 tefachim of the embankment. And we're not concerned with the 10 tefachim in between. You can't say that, because we're talking about two rows on an embankment. We don't care how big the embankment is. The Braisa was dealing with the distance between the rows. It's mefurish. There's nothing, like, case closed.
Ambiguous.
What?
There's nothing ambiguous.
There's nothing ambiguous. Thank you very much. Amar Rebbe Mona, not so fast. Okay, maybe it's not such a muchrach raya. Kol oisa, asar tefachim, shebimadrega, asu oisa, makayim, Bifnei Atzmai. Really, any Asar Tvachim that's on an embankment, is this considered its own place? But what Rabbi Yimona is saying is, what's going on here is the second diagram in footnote 5, we're really concerned with not two, when it said, shtei shuras b'madrega, that's not what the Braisa meant. The Braisa meant a shura on the top of the embankment before it slopes, before the slope. And then another shura on the embankment. That's where you needed 10 tefachim. And if that meaning, look at the diagram. If the madrega is 10 tefachim, we are not concerned with the distance between the two rows. As long as the madrega, it's possible, says Rabbi Mona, to interpret the brisa that way and not have a raya mukhrachas.
Therefore, the distance between the two plants can't be more than 10 tefachim.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as the height between the two levels is less.
Exactly. All Rabbi Mona is saying is it's very possible to interpret the Braisa that way and to keep intact this idea that the embankment is a standalone Rishus, let's just say. And we're not going to just, let's just say, we are really going to jump into Rishuyas with a very well-known case, which we've all learned before. Tam and Taninon, we learned there in the Mishnah. Yes.
So, according to Ravana, we don't care how long the embankment is or where the...
We do care. Embankment, in order to be considered an embankment, that be its own Rishuyas, has to be 10 tefachim long.
That's a minimum for an embankment.
Yeah, it's a minimum. And now, as Shapsi pointed out, not 10 tefachim diagonally, but 10 tefachim from the cliff to the lower level. Okay? And Tamatanina, we learned in Gemara Shabbos, but we've had this Gemara in a number of places. Hazoyrek arba amas b'kaisel. We know, right? You cannot carry arba amas b'rishus ha-rabim. And that includes Zyrik, okay, throwing from one place to another. If you make an akira and you make a hanacha, it is considered carrying b'shus harabim. Okay, so what about this case? If you threw arba amos b'kaisol and they're on a wall that was in the b'shus harabim, right? L'may l'masar tefachim. If the object that you threw landed higher than 10 tefachim, which is considered not Rishus HaRabim. That is considered Aver Rishus HaRabim, which is not the Rishus HaRabim, then Kazarik Ba'aver. It's like you threw it in the air on top, and it's not considered, it's not considered.
It landed on the wall, on the coast.
It did lie there on the wall, but it landed L'mayla Masar Tefachim. That's not considered Mavrishus Al-Bahamas. Let's say lemata ma'asar tvachim, but it landed lower than asar tvachim, kazarik baretz. That's like you threw it on, right? That you made an akira b'shus harabim and a hanacha b'shus harabim and you chayiv. Okay. Now parenthetically, Rav Chisda is going to teach us stama halacha. Rav Chisda Amar, just remember the arba amos we deal with. This is amazing because I never. You don't hear people talk about this all the time. But Maited Lachson, it's talking about the diagonal of a Arba Amos square, which we know is 5 3 amas, according to the Gemara in Erevin, right? That's whatever theory that is.
Pythagorean.
That's the Pythagorean? That's what you were talking about? Yeah.
B squared plus B squared plus C squared.
Okay, so that's...
The sides of the
triangle.
Square.
This is
not a triangle. This is a square, the diagonal of a square. This is a sugi, an Erevin sugi in sukkah, right? You know, the circular sukkah we learned, right? So Rav Chisda is saying, just remember in any discussion of Arba Amos, You're not talking about arba amas, you're talking about 5 3/5 amas. Okay, I never knew it either before I learned it, and I don't know if we passing this way. So, Tzarachian, you guys do your homework and please get back to me, okay? But that's just parenthetically, okay? So, Frank the Gemara, which is the same kasha of the Gemara in Shabbos, in Bavli, it says the following. If you throw it against a wall, there is no hanaka. The Yerushalmi says, Vein Saifa Leireid, will it not eventually fall down? Meaning, same question. There's no hanaka. So, right?
I thought we just said it landed on top of the wall.
It landed, but then it fell, but then it falls down. There's an initial boom, and then there's an initial impact, and then it falls.
It's not on top.
The Gemara, I think, in Shabbos deals with on top. And the Gemara is talking about, I think the Gemara there says that it's talking about a diagonal wall there that, where there is no on top. That's what the Gemara asks that. And the Gemara says it's diagonal there. So there is no top to fall on.
So we're talking now throws it against the wall.
Against the wall.
Like handball.
Exactly. Right. But there is no hanocha.
Right.
We have an akira, we have no hanocha. Freak the Gemara. Famously, Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yochanan, Tiftar, Shehoysed Vela Shmeina v'hi nitaicha. We're talking about a sticky, fatty, or whatever word you want to use, fig cake, that's stuck against the wall, and therefore, even though most of it's going to fall down, there is going to be some stuff that's stuck, and that some stuff is going to make the person chayav, because that is a hanocha. There is going to be residue that's stuck.
Mm-hmm. So it's sticking to the wall,
right. Or we could have said, in modern parlance, spaghetti. You just throw the spaghetti towards the wall and something's going to stick, right? Mm-hmm. So, back to our Gemara. Rabbi Chagai ba'e kaimi Rabbi Yaisi. So Rabbi Chagai asked him for Rabbi Yaisi, leis hada amra, shipua hamadrega kelematan. Isn't this mefurish? Isn't this as unambiguous as you can get that when you have something that sticks up, it has the same halacha as what it's stuck up from the lower level. Because if it didn't, there's for sure no hanacha. We're saying that there's a hanacha because it's stuck against the wall. If this wall is not the same reshus as the reshus harabim, how is there ever a hanacha? Right? Good raya? Amar leih, so Rabbi Yossi answered Rabbi Chagai, not so fast. Taman, we're not dealing with strict reshuyas there. We're dealing with more practical reshuyas. Taman, over there, meaning in our case, here in Klayim, Zeroyan, Nehen, in Minhamadrega, the whatever's planted sticks into the embankment, is going nowhere. It is permanent. Baram Hocha, but here, Derech B'nei Adam, Liyaz Shafin Ba, the Hinoi Felas. It's common for people to rub against whatever's in the wall of Rosh Hashanah. Nothing really sticks to a wall in Rosh Hashanah, and it falls down. So therefore, it's not considered a different reshus, an independent reshus for purposes of Hanukkah. For purposes of Hanukkah, it's expected to fall down. But here, it is, because here it's planted, right? And Rabbi Yossi adds, and here's my raya, Ilu Omar b'shahaya sham char. If Rabbi Yochanan would have answered a different answer, not that we're talking about a sticky fig cake, but we're talking about a case where there's a crevice in the wall and he threw it right into the crevice and it's stuck into the crevice, if that was what was being discussed, v'hinenem in achar, and therefore the object was going to be permanently in the wall, just like these plantings are permanent on the embankment, Yos, that will be a good tushtel. Then you could have said, oh, just like there's a hanocha there in the crevice, right? And we consider it part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's bottled to the Rishus HaRabim. It's not considered independent. So maybe here. But that's not what we said. Rabbi Yochanan did not give that answer, right? Of course, you're going to ask me, well, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't give me the answer, isn't it a raya?
That's true.
Right? But that the answer to that is when you look in the Gemara Shabbos, there's a whole separate sugya of Chayre Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Machlekes Abaye and Rava. And I think that sugya, if I'm not mistaken, Yudaf Yemi guys, also has implications of Aveda, maybe? Or Chatzar and different things. Yeah. You find the Machlekes a lot. So there you're getting into a whole different... There's reasons Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to go there. Okay? There's reasons that Rabbi Yochanan did not want to go there. Because he got into that. So the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan gave that answer, and the answer involved something which was not going to be permanent, is enough to differentiate between our case. So you can't bring a raya. Okay? You cannot bring a raya that it's a separate rishus from there. Or that it's not a separate rishus from there. It's very possible that it is a separate rishus, but over there we're worried about hanocha. Okay.
Why is it that when it sticks to the wall and some other person comes and knocks it to the ground, is the first person still chayav?
Because there's an intervening. Because it's intervening. That's intervening koach. That's already the second person doing it.
So why is the first person chayav?
Oh, you're asking me why the first person?
Yeah.
First person's only chayav for the residue.
No, the first person, the way I understand, the person's chayav when it lands on the ground.
No, it's chayav for the residue that sticks to the wall even after the rest of the fig cake goes down. That's what the footnote said. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah.
Like.
I know, it seems to be problematic, and I have that question, but I want to refer you to...
It's common for people to brush against the wall. The fig cake will be dislodged, will fall to the ground. Although, since the fig cake will inevitably fall to the ground, it is even now considered to have come to rest there.
I'm looking at 11, okay? Footnote 11, brackets. Although most of the fig cake, except for the part stuck to the wall, is still within... So 4 hours, the thrower is liable because the place on which the fig cake rests is 4 hours away. Okay, that was a different thing. That
13 is where they discuss it.
It's considered that come rest. This is because the cake. Well, no, that explains why the wall is buttle. You understand? There's two different discussions. Is the wall part of the Shus HaRabim or is it separate? Number one discussion. Number two discussion, is there a hanocha? There is a hanocha because it's sticky. Okay? It's stuck, and some residue is going to be there. So even after...
If it's above Asara Tvachim.
No. If it's Asara Tvachim, that's the right. Ikar that did, right? That's what the Mishnah says. Asara Tvachim, you don't worry about it. But within Asara Tvachim, it's considered Shus HaRabim because there's something that's stuck, right? The next question is, why is it part of the Rishus HaRabim? Why is it part of the Rishus HaRabim? Just like our Gemara that says that this embankment is not the same as the lower embankment. That discussion says, since it's people are going to come along and it's the Rishus HaRabim, get rid of anything that's on a wall, it's not considered batel to the Rishus HaRabim. Excuse me, it is considered batel to the Rishus HaRabim, sorry. Okay? Yeah, so now we're gonna try a different angle, okay? And with now we're on the top of 57B. I think we're gonna have to discuss this afterwards.
Okay,
because we can really spend the rest of the time on that, but I'm telling you, we're not gonna get anywhere with it. Shtei ginais zu al gav zu. Now we have another brisa. Okay, and again, we're talking about an embankment case. Again, back to embankments. and we have two gardens, one on the other. Hatachtayna asuya kerem. The lower garden is a vineyard. Ba'aliyayna ein asuya kerem. The top is not a vineyard. Zoreya esu'aliyayna. Look at the diagram. You may plant the top achu magia la'avar asara. Until you get to the airspace of asara of the lower vineyard, but not below that. Okay, so you can use part of the embankment, but you can't use the whole embankment. So again, Rabun Barchia boy kaimer Reb Zeira. So Rabun said in front of Reb Zeira, leisa da amra shipu amadrega kalamaton. Isn't this saying the embankment is like the bottom? Because if the embankment was a purely independent reshus, you should be able to plant all the way down. You shouldn't have to stop within 10 tefachim of the vineyard. Why do you have to stop? Must be the embankment is bottle to the lower thing. Amalei, so again, Reb Zeira says, not a raya. Mishum zroyim noitin la'avir hakerem. Reb Zeira said, this is a different problem. The problem is, even if it would be independent, look at the next diagram in note 5, you have a situation where whatever you plant on the embankment within Asar Tfachim is going to bend within the Avir, and that is Mamish Klayim. As we learned yesterday, we learned it by the Oris, right? Same thing. Whatever is within the Avir is right? So if it bends over, whether the vine is on top of you and you're under, or whether the vine's below you and you're over, either way, there is a problem with Klein if it's within the airspace of Asarat Vachet. Okay? That's the problem. It's not, so again, it doesn't resolve the issue of whether the Madrega is independent or not. And I think he brings down that Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, we hold that the Rambam holds the Madrega is independent, and other Rishonim say no. So that's the bottom line of that. I forget where that. I'm looking for that note, but I don't see it.
Number six,
yeah. Yes. Did not combine single area, right? So that's, but when you look at the Rambam, it's mefurish in the Rambam that the Madrega is considered independent. Okay, so now once we're in this Brisa, we're going to conclude the Brisa. Remember, we have another gina of other minim. So the first case was what? Where the vineyard was on the bottom and the other meme was on the top. The next case of the Brisa, Hoel Yoino Asura Kerem, the vineyard is on the top, Atachtoino Eino Asuya Kerem, but the bottom is not a vineyard, it's something else. So what do you do then? Zareya S, look at the
number 7.
Number 7 or number 8, okay? Number 7, not first number 7. The words of the Brisa is Zareya Satachtoina ve'es hamadrega, the lower level and the entire embankment. You can plant, fill it up. Acha magil ekarak fanam, until you get to the base of the grapevines. Om Reb Yaisi, don't take it so literally. Leis kon le'ikarak fanam, don't say it exactly the base. El lamatam mishloisha, 3 tfachim from below the base. Okay, and that's the second diagram. You see,
that's Rabbi Akiva. It's 3 tefachim.
That's, he says avaida, but that's for a different reason. No. We're talking about yanika now. This is a yanika. Okay, kahadad detani. This we learned already. Dov shirashi pia, the roots of the matter, which have roots that not only go down but go sideways. That's what's interesting about them. Nichnasin losoich arba amas shibekerem. So we know we have arba amas in any kerem. So any other plant except for a pia plant, you can plant it right outside the abomas. You're fine. Why? Because the shlushim are going to go down. The pia plant, the shlushim are going to go to the side, so you cannot. What do? You have to dig a lower, you have to dig your own embankment, your own trench of three tefachim, and then you're allowed to. Because we don't care if the pia shrushim go below the, you know, with, you know, below three tefachim of the grapes. What do you see? That the yanika is three tefachim and no more. So you have, you can plant this embankment all the way up to three tefachim. Okay, let's do this Mishnah. Hamadla es, and this, we're going to get back now to, again, not Ikar HaDin. We're closer to the Maris Ayin or the Gezerah. This is all, this is rabbinic, not the Araisa, this Mishnah. Hamadla es agefen amikas apifyorios, apifyoros, right? We have, as we said, a trellis. We know a trellis is very straight up, right, with lattice work. So let's say the person only uses part of the aris. He doesn't use the whole thing. Lo yavi zera el tachas hamayser. He may not plant on the base of the other part of the trellis. Why? Because what's the trellis for? The trellis is so the vine can spread out. So you're just asking for trouble, right? If you plant, so you're not allowed to plant. Heavy, but if you do plant, like Kidesh, yeah, it's not usher because there's no vine there yet. But if the person waited and the vine did grow and it was Maisef Messiah, it is usher, even without his knowledge. Remember, we have Alacha. In order for it to be Kaliyah Kerem and become usher, what has to happen? It has to be Maisef Messiah.
Yes or no?
With his knowledge, with his awareness. In this case, he is prior because he took a chance. He was not reasonable when he first planted at the base. So even if it was Haysef Nasayim without his direct knowledge at the time, when he planted, he already took that. So it's automatically usher. V'chein hamadle al mitzos ilan srok. Same halacha, whether it's an oris, a trellis, or whether it's a barren tree that doesn't bear fruit. People used to use barren trees for a trellis, and they were mavato the tree, so to speak, to the needs of the trellis. Same thing. You're not allowed to plant it on the other side where there's no vine, because it's eventually going to get there, and if it does, it's saucer. But how about a madlas agefen al miktasilam machol? If it's not a non-fruit bearing tree, but a fruit bearing tree, and you plant it on the other side, mutter lahavi zera al tachas hamaiser, he can plant to the other part of it that doesn't have the vine, because there he's not the bottle, the fruit tree. He is going to pull back the vine, and not allow the vine to interfere with the fruit tree. So therefore, we don't have that gezera that he's going to do it. And if a taka grew and extended over there, he can pull it back and then plant it again, and it's not usher. It's not usher because we're not choshish that he is going to allow this to extend because it's a fruit tree. Okay, very quickly, we're on Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We can finish the Mishnah because it's stories. Ma'aseh Shalach Rabbi Yeshua Eitzel Rabbi Yishmael L'Kfar Oziz. Rabbi Yeshua went to Rabbi Shmuel to this place, Kfar Ozes, Be'aro Gefen. Rabbi Shmuel showed Rabbi Yeshua a vine, Shuhu Mudla al Mikdas Te'ena, on a fig tree, which is a fruit tree. Amar Lai, so Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua, Mo'ani lohavi zera tachas ha-maiser, can I plant on the other side of the fig tree, which is, doesn't have a vine? Amar Lai Mutter, like we just learned. Be'alo Mishon Lebeis Meginye.
What was he going to plant?
What?
He was going to plant the fruit?
No, he's going to plant whatever, lettuce. I don't know. He was going to plant another thing on the base of the fig tree, which doesn't have the vine. That's called the miser.
And the vine is not going to grow to.
No, we said it. He said it may grow, but because it's a fig tree, he's going to pull it back. So we don't make that gezeira. Okay? Ve'alom mishon lebeis meginya, took him to another place, beis meginya, where all gefen shu mudlar mekdas ha'kairah. Then he showed him a gefen that was trained over part of a beam, not stam a beam that was cut, but a beam from a sycamore, v'sadon shal shikma v'karis harbe. They had many what was called beams. They used to, according to the footnote, they used to take the sycamore, cut it down to the stump, and separate beams would grow out of the top. So in this case, they trained the vine on one of them. Are the other beams also usher because it's not fruit bearing? So amalai tachas hakayra zu usher. Yes, under that one particular kore, it's usher v'ashar mutter. But the other ones are mutter, and this is a special halacha of only by shikma, only by sycamores. And then the Mishnah finishes. What do you consider fruit bearing? Is there a ilan shrok? Of course, it doesn't make any fruit. Hakol ilan meraimer no. Hakol ilan shrok. Everyone is a fruit tree. Chutz min azayis min ateina, except for olive and fig, because all the other kind of fruit trees would be bottled to the vine. So you would have the gzera. Rabbi Yosi Eimer, if you really want to know what's chashuv, kol she'en kamayu noit and sada shleimais. If you make an orchard. Anything you wouldn't make an orchard out of, Hareza Elon Srok, but if you make an orchard, it's chashav enough, and it is considered a fruit tree, and it is mutter. Nunches Ahmed Aleph tomorrow.